going to read from John chapter 11, starting from verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Cannot he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. I'm just going to pray for David now. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that no matter what is happening in our lives or our country or our world, that in whatever sorrow or joy or even the storms, that your word can bring us comfort, guidance, and that in all things you are Lord of all. I pray that you would speak to us now through David, that your word would bring power. Amen.
Thank you so much, Laura and Sarah and the band, and thank you all for being here today on this special occasion. It is wonderful to see you. Just so many faces that, just such a joy to share in these moments and in life with. And I want to just say, some of you know this about me, but maybe if you're new here, you might not, but the Queen has a way of of touching me. I would have to say probably since the year 2000, and I'll explain why that year in a moment. I find it hard not to well up when the Queen does one of her Christmas broadcasts or when she spoke during COVID. I find there's something about the Queen, the way she expresses her faith in amidst the very real challenges of whatever's going on in her family, and there are often challenges and losses and need for forgiveness in that situation. Whatever's going on in the world, and there are often need for faith and trust, as she often shared stories of just someone who was seeking to work for God. And as she shared her faith, I was often moved. And particularly since the year 2000, because that was the year on Christmas night when my father-in-law died. And actually, we'd been watching the Queen's speech that day, and my sisters-in-law wrote to the Queen. They're twins. They wrote about the impact of watching her thing. And she wrote back. You never quite know exactly, but it was specifically, it was the kind of lady-in-waiting who wrote back saying that the letter had been read out to the Queen in her presence, and she wanted to write back and express her thoughts for the family. You know, the Queen talked in 2002 in her broadcast. She said this. She said, "I know just how much I rely on my faith to guide me through the good times and the bad. Each day is a new beginning. I know that the only way to live my life is to try to do what is right, to take the long view, to give of my best in all that the day brings, and to put my trust in God." Well, I was gone at that point. And brothers and sisters, as we come to the end of this prayer week, when we've been thinking about faith, praying in faith and praying for faith, I want to say, let's look at the Queen, at her faith, and say, God, would you help us keep growing? You know, I can't remember a time when I've heard more in the news the word faith. You know, even a lot of the proclamations yesterday, defender of the faith, time and time again. And, you know, in our prayer week, we've kept coming back to a line in the Good News Bible in Mark chapter 9, when a father comes to Jesus in a kind of desperate situation, concerned for his son, and he says, "I have faith, but not enough. Help me have more." And that is my cry and my prayer and my longing, and even today, that is my heart. Lord, I have faith. Help me have more, because we have an amazing passage in front of us. I know it. I read it. I've thought about it often, and some of you may have too. But perhaps if you're here for the first time, I want to say we want to try and hear it like you're hearing it. An amazing story of a remarkable miracle. A funeral where someone comes back to life. That is not normal. And you know, I was thinking about this passage and how for our prayer week, it is so full of faith that God can work in prayer. Look, it says this in Martha says to Jesus in verse 22, "But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask," she says to Jesus. And then in 11 verse 42, we read this. Jesus says, "I know that you always hear me," as he's praying to the Father, "but this is for their benefit, for the benefit of the people standing with me, that they may believe." Jesus wants us to know that not just can he talk to God the Father in prayer, but that we can too. He wants us to come in faith, believing that he hears us. And I've been thinking, I don't know how it didn't hit me before, but it was on Friday, and I was just hearing some of the news and, you know, the national anthem being kind of played. I don't even think it was being sung. It was just reminding me of the words that many of us have sung many times. And I just suddenly realized that's a prayer. "God save our gracious Queen," we used to sing. "Long live our noble Queen." Well, that was an answer to prayer. "Send her victorious, happy and glorious, long to reign over us." Well, that was an answer to prayer. "God save our Queen." And that was an answer to prayer. God hears and answers prayer. Not always, though, in the way we would like. Mary and Martha were, I'm sure, praying that their brother wouldn't die. You've probably, like me, been praying for things that you've not seen happen yet, or things where you think, God, why did that happen? Even you may ask, why now, Lord? But you know, Jesus encourages us to pray with faith because prayer brings freedom. Not always in the way we expect, often in the ways we don't expect. But in this passage, I see a freedom that is amazingly connected with faith. And we're going to be looking in this autumn term at a book in the Bible called Galatians, which is a book about freedom. We're going to call this series the Freedom Series. And yet faith comes up time and again because faith is connected with freedom. You know, this picture at the end of our passage of Lazarus having the grave clothes taken off him. Could there be more an amazing picture of freedom? You know, I think about the disciples who before this, and even the crowd, were full of unbelief. And yet as they see what Jesus does, faith rises, freedom from unbelief. And even for Mary and Martha who come to him in despair. And yet as they meet with Jesus and they see him work, hope comes. There is freedom from despair because wherever Jesus is, there is always hope. And so, brothers and sisters, let's let faith arise this morning. You know, our heart as a church, as Helen was saying, is to raise the next generation to be free, to be following Jesus, to be reaching out, to be an extended family and do everything in love. And key to that is faith. I long that we all would help each other, every generation raising the next generation, to be those that have faith and grow in faith and help others grow in faith too. So as we look at this passage, how can it help us? As we think about the queen, how can that help us grow in faith? Well, here's the first thing I want us to see, that I long for us to be people who have faith that Jesus can. Faith that Jesus can. That we would believe in the authority of Jesus. That there is no one like him. You know, Martha believed that. She ran to him. Do you see here in verse 21? And, you know, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming in verse 20, she went out to meet him. And Mary stayed at home. And she said in verse 21, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She knew that Jesus could heal. She knew that. She had faith. And, you know, Jesus can do extraordinary things. But Jesus response to her is to try and say, look, Martha, you might believe that if I'd been here, he wouldn't have died, but I'm just about to kind of stretch your faith here. And maybe you've come today and you believe something about Jesus. Well, Jesus is wanting to stretch our faith, to discover that his authority is greater than we think, that he really can help us in whatever we're facing, whatever problem or difficulty or struggle, that there's one who can redeem situations. There is one who can bring good even out of what the enemy intends for evil. There is one who can even destroy and overcome death. That is God. And so Jesus says in verse 25 to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. I mean, a staggering thing to say. Normal people don't say that. Jesus is not a normal person. He says, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then he says to Martha, do you believe this? I mean, how do you answer that? Well, she has a great response. Do you want to see what she says? This is like Martha's declaration of faith. And it's in verse 27. And I was thinking about this when we keep hearing in the news and maybe you're talking at work and, you know, you people maybe know you've come to church sometimes or did come to church for the first time today. And, you know, this phrase, defender of the faith, you know, so what is that all about? The queen was the defender of the faith. You know, what is the faith? Well, verse 27 is a beautiful picture of it. This is Martha's declaration of the Christian faith. She says, yes, Lord. There's a start. Lord, the term used of God. Yes, Lord. She told him, I believe that you are the Christ or the Messiah. Now, that was the term for the anointed king, the deliverer who was going to come and rescue the world. The anointed rescuer, the one who was going to kind of redeem the situation and turn things around. And this Christ, this Messiah, was going to reign, get this, forever. Wow. And Martha says, you are him. You are the Christ, the Messiah. The one who came to save. Rescue. I remember in 2011, and it often really struck a chord with me because I'd be trying to do a Christmas service and proclaim Christ to the wonderful bunch of people here, and then I'd go home in the afternoon and the Queen would kind of proclaim Christ to the nation. It was just glorious at times. And this was what she said in 2011. Although we are capable of great acts of kindness, history teaches us that we sometimes need saving from ourselves. From our recklessness or our greed, God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, important though they are, but a savior with the power to forgive. We've got a savior, and his name is Jesus. And the faith, the Christian faith, to be the defender of the faith, is something where we say, Jesus is the Christ, the savior. There is none like him. He is the Son of God, as it goes on to say in verse 27. Look with me. It says this. Martha says, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. You know, I don't remember a time when I've heard the phrase Almighty God so much on the news as this weekend or the last couple of days. You know, it was almost like in every bit of the declaration or the proclamation of the king yesterday, it was like Almighty God, Almighty God. God is Almighty. We've been worshiping and singing to him. You know what Almighty means? It means he can. He can do things that no one else can do. He can do what seems impossible. He is the Son of God. And the story of John's gospel goes on, and drawing off what it is for him to be the Messiah, the gospel of John continues with these amazing descriptions. I encourage you to read it. I've got a copy here that I'd love to give you on the door if you're here visiting. And it talks about how Jesus didn't just live a life like no other and taught like no other, but he died in a way like no other for my sin and yours, the perfect one dying in the place of the imperfect. And the Christian faith declares that Christ died for our sins, but then rose again. That's what Easter's all about. Not just did he raise Lazarus from the dead, he himself broke the power of death and conquered death on that first Easter Sunday. This is our faith. This is the faith that Jesus can. You know, back with that story of the dad and the son, the dad came to Jesus and said, if you can, help us. And Jesus' reply was, if you can, everything is possible for him who believes. No wonder the man said, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. You know, I think there's something here which is also quite hard for us to really believe. And that is that sometimes we can believe, well, God, you can do stuff for Martha or Mary. You know, you can. Because they were your special friends. And the queen, I mean, like, you know, Becca was saying, I mean, she had a crown. She was kind of, everyone thought she was sort of pretty good. You know, I just want to say, and I often say this at people's funerals, they're wonderful people, but they're not perfect people. Only Jesus was perfect. But see, we don't really see the Queen's imperfections. What we see is our imperfections. And so what we think is, well, God, you can for them, but not for me. Because we haven't really believed the second thing, and that's this, that Jesus cares. We see we need faith not that Jesus can, we need faith that also Jesus cares. And he cares so deeply. We see that here in this passage. We see the compassion and the love of Jesus. Verse 33, we read this, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved. It's a deep reaction of in his heart, deeply moved. And actually, it even goes on and says, and troubled. There was something about death that troubled him. It wasn't right. And you know, I think about that situation and I think, God, you know, you're deeply moved by the mourning and the loss that is happening in our nation and around the world. You're deeply moved for the king and the princes. And all the loss that they've gone through, I think, God, help them. You know, there's been other deaths this week too, though. You might have heard Chris Cabot was unfortunately shot by police this week. And Jesus is deeply moved by that situation too. Deeply moved as his parents grieve. Deeply moved by what you're going through this week as well. Doesn't matter who you are or what you've done, Jesus cares. Jesus cares. Do you believe that? That he cares for you. He cares for everyone you walk past in the streets. Jesus cared and he wept at the tomb of Lazarus. And they said, see how he loved him. And Jesus cared enough in the way he worked in Lazarus to actually not just raise his friend back to life, but to do it in such a way it was of benefit to us. He prayed that amazing prayer, you know, and in verse 42, as he looked up to heaven and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for you, the benefit of those people standing here, that they may believe you sent me. Jesus cares for us and wants us to know that he cares. I've been very impacted by a verse that many years back when I took on leading this role, God really spoke to me about. It's a verse that talks about that willingness to make sacrifices just as Jesus made a sacrifice for us. I sometimes call it my plank verse because when God reminded me of it, I was on the seafront and this plank washed up in front of you. I still have the plank, even though it was probably now about 15 years ago or so. It was the plank. Had a nail there and a nail there. You can imagine it reminded me of Jesus' cross. And so I kind of picked it up and I thought of the bit where Jesus says, you know, if anyone's to come after me, he must deny himself, pick up his cross and follow me. So this is my plank. And it reminds me a bit like the queen, that actually Jesus came and died for me so that I would be secure. And know that as he serves me, I can serve others. But you know, this week God really has spoken to me about my plank verse, about a bit in it that I haven't spent as much time dwelling on. This is the verse. It's Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And that's like a daily decision. I don't always do it. Even last night I was having to kind of say, no, David, die again, come on. And then again, because we have a habit of self wanting to get in the way. But this was the bit that I really started thinking about more in the last few weeks. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith. We're thinking about faith. I live by faith. Faith in what? Well, what does the verse say? Faith in what? Read it with me. By faith in who? This is the Apostle Paul's, like, it's just his thing, like, you know, like Martha's. It's like, this is my faith, this is what I believe. Faith in the Son of God, Jesus is the Almighty One, he can, who loved me, Paul says. He loves me, he loves you, he cares. He cares so much that he died for me. He died for you. That's how much he loves us. This is our faith. This is our faith. Let it sink in again today. The extent of the love of God for you, that he cares. Whatever you're going through, he cares. And that then enables us to think, Jesus, you know, whatever you say, even if that seems costly, it's going to be the best way. I heard someone say this week, that the cost of not being obedient is always far greater than the cost of being obedient to God. You know, we think sometimes that to pick up our cross, to do a life of service like the Queen, get up and do the thing that God's calling us to do, that that's going to be the costly thing. But yet you look in the family and those around her, and it's the disobedience that's been far more costly than the obedience. And in your life and my life, obedience might seem hard, that flows out of faith that says, Jesus, I believe you care, so I'm going to go your way. But it isn't as costly, even if it means we give our lives. Even if it means this Sunday we share what we might find is less than we thought it had with those in need. Even if it means we are daily making sacrifices for others. It isn't as costly as when we say, do you know what, God, I'm going to go my way. And what we do damages us and our relationship with God and those around us far more than we realize. So brothers and sisters, come again today and believe that God cares. Believe that he cares, that he's served us so that we can serve others. Again, the Queen just in 2012 said this. I don't know why 2012 feels like just recently. It's 10 years ago. But it still, I can kind of remember times when she said these things. This is the time of year when we remember that God sent his only son to serve, not to be served. He restored love and service to the center of our lives in the person of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, I might have the Prime Minister say, you know, the Queen was like our rock as a nation. But, you know, the Queen, she wasn't eternal. Rocks last a lot longer than 96 years. We need to look to the Queen's rock, her anchor, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who serves us through the cross, through his word. The one who serves us each day, who wants today to serve you and I, that we then might join him in his amazing work, that we might raise a next generation to do everything in love because they see that faith and love worked out in our lives. And so I want to echo what was said this sort of earlier in the service. You know, if you think, do you know what? I want to join what God is doing. I want to serve others. Hey, use that Connect card and let's join together in making a difference. There might be other ways. We do lots to help those in need in our city, and particularly as we come into this winter month, feel free to use that to say, yeah, I'd like to join one of the teams serving them. But as we end, I want to say this. My particular longing is not first and foremost that you would serve, but that you would know you're served by Jesus. That you would allow any service you do to flow out of that place of faith, just as it did for the Queen. That you would allow, whether you already have faith, you would allow it to grow. You know, in this passage, Martha's faith grows, Mary's faith grows, the disciples' faith grows. Jesus has got his disciples, he's raising them to grow as people of faith, even in the crowd. And there were people in the crowd who didn't believe at all. The passage ends in verse 45 with them coming to faith. You know, Jesus asks in this passage, verse 26, he asks this. He says, do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus can, that he has authority over death, that he can give life eternal? Do you believe that Jesus cares even for you and those around you? You know, verse 45, it said, many put their faith in him, and my hope and longing today, here, and in other places across our city and nation, today and in these weeks ahead, that many will put their faith in him. If you want to explore that more, I cannot commend enough something called the Alpha Course, which is designed to help people explore faith. Whether you've not done it or you've done it and you think I could invite someone else to do it. Please, in these days, make the most of that. Again, invites are on your seats. It starts on the 3rd of October in just a few weeks' time. But also, do, you know, find people and come, like, here to keep growing in your faith. The Bible says that our faith grows as we read God's word, as we look at it and hear it and study it together. So it's a great time to like join a community at the beginning of term. We have these kind of 20 plus communities scattered around the city that you can join, and they meet and encourage one another, pray, and sometimes read the Bible together and look into that. Allow that to be a place. Why not today? Just again, use the Connect card or online and say you'd like to connect in that way. But my biggest heart is that you would, as we end this week of prayer, keep praying or start praying. That you would know that it's not just Jesus who God listens to. He wants to listen to you because of Jesus. And even now, I want to pray and lead you in a prayer where you can kind of get started in prayer, where you can say, God, would you help my faith grow? So why don't we just bow our heads? I'm going to invite the band to come back up, and we're just going to pray together. Lord, we just invite you, come, Holy Spirit. Come stir faith in us now. Come and help us see Jesus. I want to echo these words in your heart. They're just a prayer of faith in the things we've been talking about. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. The Christ who came to save. I believe you can do what no one else can do. I believe you have authority to give eternal life. And Jesus, I believe you care. I believe you love even me. That you died even for me. Please forgive me. Please help me live a life of faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Lord, I offer my life to you afresh. Thank you, Jesus.